This is our second conference where I, as the student, and Mr. Ballantyne, as the teacher, talk about my annotations and get a fuller sense of moving towards an outline from those annotations. Okay, so Mr. Ballantyne, I was looking at the Act 4, Scene 2 scene. Mm-hmm. Act 4, Scene 2 of Macbeth. And I've chosen the first page. And I don't really know how many lines to work with. So I think that's my first question is, what's too much, what's too little? And so that's something that's on my mind. And as I was annotating, I was noticing a couple things. One, it's Lady Macduff and Ross talking to each other about Macduff. Mm-hmm. So Shakespeare's characterizing Macduff through other characters and through their speech. Or you're on stage, right? Because he's off stage and isn't there. Mm-hmm. Also, they're having this conversation that's centering on this idea of, is it wise? So wisdom versus fear. Why Macduff isn't there. But if I'm going to focus on fatherhood, which I am, Lady Macduff is just adamant that he has abandoned and left them. And I think that's, I don't want, Ross isn't talking about him as a father. Lady Macduff is. And so one of my questions is, well, what do I do with Ross? Because mm-hmm. I think I want to skip his parts to some degree. Okay, so can we deal with maybe where I cut myself first?
Can. Okay. So, all right, you've got some annotation on this page. You were talking to me last time about you needed to definitely get to this idea about fatherly years and yet he's fatherless.
Yes.
So the real question, because it's got to be continuous, tell me about these first sections and tell me what you think is so important about these opening few lines and what you're really gaining when you explore them in depth.
Yes, the opening lines to me were all about the content, wisdom mm-hmm. versus fear, of Macduff's choice to not be there with his family. Mm-hmm. And I felt like that kind of indirectly connects to fatherhood, but I don't know if I can talk about how that's so close to his identity, because they haven't. And yet, Lady Macduff gets really upset and was like, wisdom? In the kind of this very sarcastic, mocking tone towards Ross mm-hmm. to leave his wife, his babes. And so to me, maybe I start there, but I don't know what you think.
Okay. So potentially you're looking at starting at the very word wisdom, right?
Correct.
What you said before was that that's part of what's established in his opening lines. But do you have enough there in that opening word? If you started here, do you think that gives you enough to talk about and incorporate that as an idea you want to...
Well, what I like about it is rhetorical question. I can play with tone. I can talk about how it connects to what's just been previously said. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have to deal with all the junk previously. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think I've just answered my own question. I'm going to cut all of that because wisdom is a rhetorical question. The mocking sarcastic tone allows me to get to it. Okay.
Okay.
If we talk about the end then, I don't think I need Ross's last three lines here, because he's just saying, I'm going to go away.
Okay.
And so that's really not necessary, because it's okay, so mm-hmm. he goes away.
Okay. You want to focus more on Lady Macduff than Ross anyway?
Yeah.
Okay. If you cut those last three lines, do you feel like you've got a better balance then, in terms of
her speaking? Oh, I do, yes, because then it's mostly... then it's a lot more her. Ross does have a nice big chunk, and so I guess that's my second issue that I'm going to ask mm-hmm. you about. What do I do about it? Because to some degree I want to ignore it until the end, I think, of this extract. I don't want to get into detail about how he sees, to that larger degree, Macduff. Because mm-hmm. he's not looking at Macduff as a father. He's saying he's noble, wise, judicious, and he knows best. Mm-hmm. Where the Lady Macduff, that's really characterizing his choices as a father and saying they're really poor. Is it possible, I don't want to leave him out, but what I was thinking about doing was, if I bring him up at the end, mm-hmm. it's through Ross that I can connect to the whole text. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is, it's a question of, was he wise to do this, or was it out of fear? And I can talk about the ways in which it was wise, because ultimately he saved Scotland and the rest. Mm-hmm. And so not out of fear, but a huge cost. was born. A huge sacrifice was born, which is the death of his family. And this gets me to then, I can use a bit of this mm-hmm. to get to that. Mm-hmm. Would that be okay?
Absolutely. You are under no obligation, obviously, to look at the extract line by line. You're in control of how you want to structure things. So if you want to deal with Lady Macduff at the beginning and when she comes back in at the end, and you want to focus on her first and then come back and explore Ross, that's absolutely fine, because you're in control of how you want to structure
okay.
your presentation, your oral. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Okay. All right, so if I do that, then there are different things I can work with. I'm looking at, again, that rhetorical question. The listing in the beginning is one idea. Then the second idea that I'm looking at is going to be her definitive statements. She says, oh, and let me find it. He does not love us, or he loves us not, excuse mm-hmm. me. And then a line after that as well. So these kind of just declarative statements that mm-hmm. have no ambiguity to them. But the best part is the metaphor of the wren and the owl. Macduff mm-hmm. should be a wren protecting his babes and his wife against the owl. He doesn't ultimately know mm-hmm. that they die. And so he's not a wren. And then, of course, the paradox at the end. And so I think I have kind of, and I don't want necessarily four, I just four things popped out. Mm-hmm. And then I'll connect it to Ross to get me to the whole.
Okay. So exploring her, Lady Macduff, you're moving on to Ross. You've got, so far, you've talked about rhetorical questions, you've got declarative statements, you've got a central kind of image or metaphor where you're exploring the idea of the wren and the owl. Are there any other... Do you feel like you've got enough of a balance in terms of explicitly focusing on the choices that are being made?
I think so. I think I can talk about those choices.
Okay. And...
And maybe I need more drama specific, or I need to make sure I connect it to drama conventions off stage. Mm-hmm. Maybe more characterization. It seems to be words I'm not using that I probably should use. Mm-hmm.
You said one of the first things you told me was that you're partly acknowledging and you're slightly worried about the fact that this is both two characters. We're talking about the characterization of Macduff, but he's not here, not present. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to work that into your exploration of this passage? Where do you think that's going to come in? You just talked about dramatic choices and conventions and offstage aspects. Where are you going to work that in, do you think?
I think that has to happen at the beginning, for sure, to recognize that he's not there. And that they're talking about him mm-hmm. In the distance. And I think at the end, for sure, when the larger question about Ross saying, is it wise to do so, and he believes it is. So mm-hmm. I think those are two specific places to frame it
okay.
that well. That, okay. that I can do so.
And when it comes to Ross, you said, you know, you want to ignore big chunks, which is, you know, it's okay in the sense that you can't talk about the whole of the passage that you choose, even though you've narrowed it down quite a lot. But just talk me through, what choices are you going to make in that? Because it is a significant chunk of the extract. What kind of choices are you going to make? And tell me how those choices, you're talking about it comes back out to the whole and the idea of wisdom, etc. But so how does it connect to, how are you going to connect it to fatherhood?
Yeah, so I think I need to deal with his listing of traits. So Shakespeare using Ross to list the traits of Macduff. Noble, wise, judicious, knows best, or best knows. Mm-hmm. And there's also this idea of this wild and violent sea and a metaphor for how we act. And that he's not, he does have direction, he does have a goal. And he's really just speaking to Lady Macduff here, but I think it also connects to mm-hmm. Macduff within like how we take action, mm-hmm. And we're not just a boat that just floats around in an image that's being created. So I think those two in particular I can connect. Is my hope.
Okay, and you feel like there's going to be enough of a connection moving from or between fatherhood and those aspects that are then broader.
I think so, because I'm going to work with, when I go to the hole, the following scene, Act 4, Scene 3, mm-hmm. With Macduff finding that they're killed. And so that gets him to his family. And some lines there that will I need to investigate further because I don't know them off the top of my head, but they'll be able to do so. Act 5, Scene 8, when he ultimately kills Macbeth mm-hmm. And is seeking revenge for his family and very clearly says that. And then I really want to contrast that with Banquo and Fleance, mm-hmm. where they're the opposite of Mentor Guards. Banquo dies for his son to survive, and as they're fleeing together, he saves his son, in essence. Where Macduff doesn't save his family. And so I think that brings up this big kind of idea of sacrifice and a moral conundrum. That's being brought.
Okay.
So that's how I think I'm going to connect to the whole along fatherhood.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then when I go to poster, I think what's most important and central is the question, Daddy, what have you, what did you do in the Great War? So I think I need to focus on the language, Daddy, you, the question of it, the tone, the punctuation, the connotations of it all. I also want to deal with the setting. It feels almost very idyllic, whether it's after dinner or before dinner, but there's this sense of kids playing and the dad.
Okay.
He's a father right there, very noticeably.
Sure.
The toy soldiers, the book, that's presumably about the Great War that the child's asking about to do so. I want to connect back to this kind of purpose of it's just, it's propaganda, it's to guilt you. You're supposed to fight in World War One. And that's something that I want to focus on. And then the last thing is, I think I need to deal a little bit more explicitly with images and the facial expressions of specifically the father, kind of how he's in a thoughtful pose of, yes, what did I do? And there's two answers. Yes, I fought. That was heroic. That was wonderful. That's great. Or no, I didn't fight. Wow. What a coward am I?
Okay.
Are the two answers, obviously, he gives kids. And
okay.
The poster presents one answer that he should be giving to his kids.
Is there anything else in the composition that you've seen in this? You talked about you want to focus more on the images. You've got the facial expressions. Anything else about the composition of the characters present that you think helps come back to your central idea of this question as being the starting point?
I didn't think about the composition at all, so I'm going to write that down. And I think what you mean by composition is just the ways in which they're positioned. Yeah. And so you have...
In relation to each other in particular, right?
Yeah, so you have the daughter on the lap. You have the son playing... The son's playing down below with the toy soldiers. The dad's not really looking at the daughter. And how that all affects that. Yes, no, I didn't think about composition at all. So maybe that's something I need to add.
Okay.
In here. Anything else that you're thinking that I might be missing or that I can improve on?
Not so much that you're missing, but I think what you need to then think about is then how are you going to balance these two things overall in terms of your approach to how you want to order. You've talked a little about how you want to order your exploration of this passage and then how you want to explore the propaganda poster. How are you going to order those? Are you going to go back and forth? Are you going to look at one and then the other?
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to do one and then the other. And because the poster is an extract, and it's a whole text, but it's an extract for this assessment, I'm going to take the approach where I do extract, whole, and then go for the other one, extract, whole. So almost not two separate orals because they will connect, but they'll be there. And I think the connection I'm going to make is one, I believe as I was through my annotations, what I was realizing is, one, the poster is pure propaganda. You fight. And there's no sense of the consequences or the repercussions. And yet, there are clear repercussions in Shakespeare, or in the entire play of Macbeth, for fighting or not fighting, or what you do. And that makes sense for the purposes of what they are. And so I think that's how I'm going to conclude is working off of that. Okay. Propaganda. What is the difference between propaganda and a great work of literature?
Okay. So what sort of hunches do you have about which you might explore first?
I was thinking I was going to go with Macbeth just because that's what I knew better. But I don't know.
Okay.
Which one would be better to go first?
Well, maybe that's something just to think about. You maybe know this better, and so that gives you confidence as a starting point. But you also just mentioned that you feel like there's something a little bit more complex in the way this deals with repercussions. And so that might be something worth considering in terms of whether that's a more powerful way of moving towards that from maybe a more simplified
more
reading first.
And not only has one purpose, it has multiple, but still the purpose becomes to fight ultimately. Even if there are, let's say, sub-purposes to it, where in Macbeth, there's so much, that is questioned about the choices that are made that you don't get here. And so Macbeth becomes a literal representation of the choice to fight. Yeah. Ah, okay. I think I need to make that change then.
Okay.
Now I'm thinking. Okay, so I will, so next steps, I will start making some notes for an outline, not my IB outline, but I'm just going to try to get, like, let's say, a detailed outline that I can come talk to you about in detail. That to help out.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Thank you, Tim.